This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
There was a roughly 40-minute period of live sport on Saturday where it almost became too much. I mean, you had Bevan Parsons running in her obligatory wonder try for Ireland against Wales in the Six Nations a little after 5 p.m., followed by Rachel Blackmore creating history at the Grand National, which had started at 5:15. So by the time the Exeter-Leinster game started at 5:30, I must say I was struggling to properly focus on that for a moment or two.
It's like a seat in their eyes. They've got glazed eyes.
Exactly, glazed, unfocused eyes. An affliction apparently being suffered by the Leinster players for those first few minutes as they conceded two early tries. But thankfully, they regrouped to win a classic and complete a memorable Saturday early evening of Irish sport. Welcome to your Second Captain's Monday mini podcast. There's a football pod already out there. Hi, Ken.
Owen, how are you?
I am very well, thanks. Hi, Simon.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Kieran.
Hey, Owen. I'm glad you mentioned Bevan Parsons because the message has gone out. Joe Canning, hand in your badge, your gun. Your time as Galway's greatest sports person is finished. Bevan is the new marshal in town. What unbelievable pair of tries. Like,
what is it about her 60-metre tries, Murph, that's got her to number one?
I know. It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, she's the most compulsively watchable Irish player in years. It's brilliant.
You sort of know what's going to happen now when you see that first defender coming at her and, you know, kind of square on. You're thinking, I think you might be about to be swatted aside.
Extraordinarily bad move by you there, trying to take her high there.
Yeah, the defending, not amazing by Wales, we should probably say. But that was impressive. I mean, Ireland basically had it done and dusted. So we could, once the Grand National was then also out of the way, we could start to focus properly on Leinster, Simon. But were you as concerned as I was once my eyes got the glaze off them and I realised that, hang on, 14-0 down after 7 minutes against the defending champions away from home. This wasn't looking good.
Yeah, and it was a game where you thought Leinster would have to scratch and scrape for every single point. So being 14-0 down and Exeter looking really confident and also doing things that we maybe didn't expect Exeter to do. They were sort of throwing it around Toulouse style at their second try in particular. And then I think the composure to come back into it, but with sort of skill and accuracy, and Hugo Keenan maybe typified it with that offload where, you know, it's the right skill at the right moment, it's the right level of risk and executing it perfectly. And he now, for me, he seems to be able to self-analyze himself, self-diagnose, and then work on whatever information he's been given by coaches and get better every single time. And his base, he came in as like a brilliant sort of Rob Kearney, Gervin Dempsey, do the basics right. And then every game you see him, he's doing offloads, he's pulling lines off Gary Ringrose, he's doing it for Ireland and Leinster. And the combination of being, you know, the brilliant player and the basics player is so, so rare. And he's just a joy to watch. I thought he really made a difference at a time when Leinster needed something special.
What I quite liked is how Leinster, as you say, they were rocked on their heels a little bit, caught off guard, and I felt they were almost dragged into this kind of classic, you know. It was as though yeah. I mean, once that second try was unbelievable by Exeter, you know. Stuart Hogg, who I'm sure we'll come into in more detail momentarily, Murph, hold your horses there, you know, flicking it around basketball style, as I say. There was so much going on, but then pretty soon afterwards James Lowe gets away a couple of times and, you know, gets a bit of joy down the left, and you're kind of thinking, oh, hold on, these Leinster players will enjoy this as well, you know. Let's not go crazy here.
Well, it's funny because the whole question beforehand was, we're judging Leinster from 12 months ago, playing Saracens in a quarterfinal, underperformed, and trying to write off as best we could everything in the Pro 14 because they were never pushed. And then all of a sudden, they're in the worst situation against the best team they've faced in ages and ages, and they pull out their best performance. I think that's why it was so impressive, is that they showed mental strength when they'd had no practice at having to have mental strength.
So is this, I mean, I did see people putting it down as one of the great Irish European performances. Are you going that far a couple of days later?
Yeah, absolutely I would. And I know Leo Cullen was saying afterwards that if you play well in the quarterfinal, you win, and then you play badly in the semifinal and you lose, everybody forgets the quarterfinal. But I think as a one-off, it beats, for me, even some of their performances in the final, say Ulster that time when Ulster were really overmatched talent-wise, or even the last one over Racing when Racing never really got going, the game never really got going either. And Leinster did show good mental strength, but they didn't actually have to play all that well. And they did it this time, I think, without Ringrose, without Ryan, or without Doris. Sexton went off, Exeter the champs, Exeter started well, and I wonder, could it be a line in the sand for them that they scored those types of tries against a defence like Exeter's? Those tries required like that timing, the subtlety of pass, the good finishing from the likes of Larmer, and then Ross Byrne, I think, significantly had maybe his best ever big game performance for Leinster. And he made really good decisions, and he did them at high speed. I thought that was the difference for him against a pretty good defence. He made decisions at high speed, and as ever, like, he was rock solid mentally. And then the best thing about this comp is that they go on now to face La Rochelle and Ron O'Gara, a team and a coach who play a completely different style, completely different culture to what Exeter have, or any sort of team like Munster that they may face in the Pro 14. And we get to see if Lancaster and Cullen can adapt to that again.
Listen, Simon, you might be happy, I might be happy. I mean, Ken might even be happy, but Murph can't be happy because it's heartbreak for Hoggy.
You know, I had a huge amount of belief within the boys to come down here and win.
Stuart Hogg turns up to a winning the bloody World Cup. I love it.
Stuart Hogg.
I believed in the boys' ability.
Man of the match.
Scotland are a disgrace to work for.
Yes, a final Hogg watch for the 2021 rugby season on. And I know you tell me all the time not to bother with these sweeping statements. I mean, what about the Lions tour, you'll probably say next. Well, who's to say Hoggy's even going to be on the plane? And if he does squeak onto the plane, or bus, depending on where the hell these games are going to be held, will he make the test team? Because looking at the Leinster-Exeter match on Saturday, there was only one test starting fullback in action, and that was Huey Keenan. Yes, one, I've made a personal decision to change his name to Huey. Make him sound like a lad who'd milked 200 cows before making a number of searing outside breaks. Old Hoggy was outplayed, I'm afraid, like many of his teammates, and now all he has left is a head full of regrets and a, you know, probable Gallagher Premiership title. Play the fucking bed!
You know, I had a huge amount of belief within the boys to come down here and win.
Stuart Hogg turns up to a winning the bloody World Cup. I love it!
Stuart Hogg!
I believed in the boys' ability.
Man of the match!
Scotland are a disgrace to work for. There's a few Irish rugby players, actually, on that could do with a rebrand. Bob Henshaw, of course. I've been trying to get that one off the ground for years. Scrum half Jim Pack, so he sounds like a Mullingar taxi driver. TJ Stander, Jerry Ringrose.
Too late for TJ, in fairness, yeah. I think, you know.
Keith Earls is actually fine. Probably just leave Keith Earls.
Well, that was an unbelievable sporting occasion. As for what went down at Aintree,
National, and I just can't believe we won. It's unbelievable.
Is Gay Vulcan in foresail? Behind foresail is Charlotte Brew, just taking the water, getting a cheer from the crowd as going down out into the country. Boom Dockers, a long way.
I'm not in favour of these girls going out, to tell you the truth. They're not as strong as a man, they can't possibly be. It's not a girl's sport.
And where's that lady rider? Charlotte Brew and Barony Ford are way out of contention, but doggedly soldiering on.
Is this your first winner?
Yeah.
Talk us through that race here now.
It went really well and I couldn't believe it.
But over the last in the National, it is Manila Times who leads them towards the elbow. Three or four lengths clear from ridden in second place, Balco de Flo. Any second now and Barrow Sate. Rachel Blackmore heads towards the elbow with 200 yards between herself and an Aintree victory. Balco de Flo and any second now are about five lengths down, 150 yards to go. Manila Times, Rachel Blackmore still five lengths clear. And it is Manila Times who is keeping up the gallop towards the line. Manila Times, Rachel Blackmore raises the bar still higher.
Ah, oh, what a brilliant bed, featuring some of the old-fashioned attitudes to women in racing there. Obviously, Rachel Blackmore was the leading rider at Cheltenham. Now she is the first female jockey to win the Grand National. Although she said straight afterwards, I don't feel male or female right now. I don't even feel human, which I thought was a hell of a quote, Murph, in the, yeah, just moments after winning the biggest race of her life.
Yeah, she's like, she keeps saying that she doesn't like doing media stuff, or, you know, it makes her feel uncomfortable, but also keeps coming out with these unbelievable phrases that,
well,
like,
that's a great one,
absolutely sum up the moment perfectly, more perfectly than any 10,000 word think piece. And we'll get a few of those as well, I'm sure.
Yeah,
about the just the impact she's made in the last 3 or 4 months. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Malika Clerken actually did a brilliant interview a couple of years back. It was one of those ones, precisely what you're saying. It was one of those interviews where the interviewee is really painfully reluctant to big themselves up and to really talk. You know, the interview is about them, but they don't really want to talk about themselves too much. But even in so doing and approaching it that way, she still managed to give a pretty good idea of what she was all about, I felt. That was back in October 2018. And I mean, obviously, she's gone to an absolute another stratosphere now. We're going to celebrate this landmark achievement tomorrow on the World Service by talking to Malachy and also to Katie Walsh, who came third in the National in 2012 herself. So that's tomorrow. And that's not all the celebrating we'll be doing on the World Service this week.
Who's better, LeVar or Michael Jordan?
I think about no damn LeVar.
Yes, they are.
Owen McDevitt from Ireland's Second Captain Show.
Owen McDevitt, you're a cold piece of work.
You're looking good. I know you're feeling good.
Owen, you're amazing.
I'm like, yeah.
2,000 podcast recordings today and the Second Captain Show in Ireland. Owen McDevitt.
Owen, I like you and I like your style.
Yeah. I hear you in your 40s and you're bald-headed. Let's just put it this way. You ahead of Yay. Owen McDevitt.
Hey, Jack Charlton, we're just about out of time. Been a pleasure talking to you.
I can't believe it, dog. I know what 2,000 is. And that's a heck of a feat. But any man, I love your style.
It's delicious.
I'm Owen McDevitt.
Owen McDevitt.
He's a non-event as far as I'm concerned.
You're bald-headed.
Yeah, a new week, a new wave incorporating LeVar Ball saying the word bald-headed into an audio bed there. It's going to happen probably every week for the foreseeable. Our 2000 podcast celebrations continue. We had a phenomenal reaction to the David O'Doherty-Paul Kimmich chat last week. It was poignant, introspective, funny. Not for the faint of heart, though. Ronan Morrissey counted 74 swear words in total, and that's not including butt cheeks.
Butt cheeks on my ass.
So do be careful who you're listening to this podcast with. Yeah. Coming this week is the glorious return of one of our original contributors from back in the day.
Lording it up down at Corktown Beach.
Yeah, Murph, you've already explained to us on our other podcast today how enjoyable you found your pre-chat. We've actually been in touch with Roddy a couple of times. Just largely, I feel everyone's using it as an excuse just to call Roddy again. Simon, you sent me a text last week just off a very enjoyable chat with Roddy. He's so funny, I feel amazing.
Well, let's just say that talking to people over the age of 30 about Zoom recordings and sound quality and stuff like that can be a draining experience, Owen. But the chat with Roddy, I'm not sure I actually got across any of my information, but I felt amazing getting off the phone.
It's like talking to Ken on the phone.
Yeah.
Did you know, Ken, that that's how I feel every time I get off the phone with you?
That's not true, though.
No, it is. Sometimes it's true.
But we never talk on the phone. When was the last time we talked on the phone?
God, that is actually true.
If we don't count,
you know, the podcast recording, it's probably been 10 years since I rang you.
Well, our entire World Service membership will be feeling great after hearing from Roddy this week. That's going to be available on the World Service. SecondCaptains.com, £5 a month plus VAT if you're not already signed up and you want to be part of the World Service. There's also, of course, Champions League this week. Chelsea, Porto, PSG, Bayern, Borussia Dortmund, Man City, Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Briefly, Ken, which one of these mouth-watering ties is making your mouth water the most?
Get the mop out, Ken.
Again, you know, why choose? Why choose when you can half watch both? So that's what I'm going to do.
Half watch everything, half watch Twitter, half talk to people on WhatsApp, the way we consume sport in 2021. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Murph, Ken, Simon.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks, Simon.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Simon.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.